Testament, go to the back. If you find Matthew, work your way backwards and find the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter number 1. It's one of the shorter books in Scripture. So Haggai chapter number 1, and we'll be in chapter number 2, and then we'll be finished. I so very much am grateful for the emphasis that we can place on missions. I don't think we can place too much emphasis on getting the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. Now, you may think and you may say, well, we've had 2,000 years to do that. Haven't we done it by now? No. Up to this point, we have failed in the Great Commission. We have failed in it. We have not completed what God has given us to do. There's still much to do, and so I thank the Pepperdines for being here, that we can emphasize that, and I thank you for continuing to give in all of those. And this message here this morning in the book of Haggai, we're going to be here for most of the message. And I want you to do something here, because this is a message that is going to ask you to do something, okay? And it's very simple, but yet maybe very frightening at the same time, okay? A couple of weeks ago, I preached out of Jeremiah chapter 6 on Sunday evening on Lest Ye Forget, This Is Still God's House. Amen. If you missed that, see Brother Mike, he'll get you a copy of the CD, and you can listen to it. I'd encourage you to do it, because I don't want you to ever forget that this is still God's house. Amen. And so get that, listen to it over and over again until you've got it burned in the banks of your memory that this is still God's house. Haggai is a short book in the Word of God that he is dealing with the Jews after they came out of captivity. And the house of God had been destroyed. The temple had been ransacked. It had been destroyed. And it was time for these people that were coming back out of this captivity and returning to Jerusalem. It was time for them to rebuild that temple. Now, Jeremiah's message was, how dare you do the things in the temple and think that you can just come to the temple and do the things that you've been doing as if nothing ever happened. Now the temple's been destroyed and it's time to rebuild it. God has given Haggai a message. I want you to go to verse number 2. We'll start there. Verse number 1, just introducing when it is, what the time frame is, and who's speaking. And here's what the Bible says in verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste. Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Who can identify with that this morning? I mean, man, it seems like everything we do is not enough. It's filled with holes. Verse number 7, the Lord said a second time, he said, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blow upon it. Why? Said the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon the ground, upon that ground which the ground that bringeth forth, upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month of the year of Darius the king. I want you to go into chapter 2, and I want you to drop down to verse number 15. Verse number 15, the Bible says, And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And when one came to the press vat to draw out 50 vessels of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with a blasting and with mildew, with all hail, or with all hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Verse 18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn, yet, or yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. 5 times we see in these 2 chapters God telling his people, consider. 2 times he says, consider your ways. And the 3rd, 4th, and 5th time, he said, consider now from this day and upward. And then he said, consider it. Consider it. I want you to just consider this morning. We'll make a few comments and we'll be through. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I thank you so much for your love for us. God, it's so overwhelming. It's so amazing how much you partake in our lives. Father, I pray for each and every person here this morning that they would place themselves in your care, in your trust. Father, that they would trust your word and follow after it in all the ways of their life, that it may be well with them. And Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that God, today would be that day that they find that faith, that they find that trust, that they find your Son, Jesus Christ, who will save them. God, make that apparent to them. Help us in all of this as we take this time to consider. Father, would you speak to our hearts? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Haggai is giving this divine message. You'll notice time after time that the Bible always reminds us who is speaking. This is not Haggai just coming up with these great words to say and saying, consider thy ways. If you'll start in verse number 5, the Bible says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I ask you this morning, I told you, you're going to have to come to a decision by the end of this sermon, by the end of this service, and it is very simple. I want you to consider your ways. The decision that you're going to have to come to is, what way are you taking? When Haggai said here, consider your ways, he gave two times where he said, consider your ways. He gave two illustrations of what is taking place. The first one, he says, is not really a good one. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. He said, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. He says, I want you to consider everything it is that you're doing. Now look, I know what it is to have a job. I mean, sometimes it seems like we wake up in the morning and we go to work. And then we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, go to bed, to wake up in the morning, to go to work. And it's this never-ending cycle of, what am I even doing? Sometimes it gets to the place where I do all of these things and I can't even get ahead in life. Anybody with me? And even if we do get ahead in life, once we get ahead, it seems like, okay, what's next? There is always something more. And whether we're putting it into a bag of holes, or whether we're putting money into a bank account, or a 401k, or a retirement, what is the purpose in what we're doing? Because I'll tell you, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether you're putting it into a 401k, whether you're putting it into CDs and stocks, and all your money is making money, and that's all you do is make money. You're still putting it into a bag filled with holes, because guess what? When you're dead, when you're gone, so is it. So is it. And we spend all of our time and all of our days doing all of these things. And the Bible is saying here, just for a moment, consider your ways. Let me just ask this question, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to work and going through the cycles of life and 401ks and all of those things. What I'm asking you is this: what are you doing it for? You say, well, I want to retire one day. I want to have a good life. I want to be able to take care of this and take care of my family and take care of my home. That's wonderful. I'm so glad. But what are you doing it for? He said, consider your ways. Again in verse number 7. Consider your ways. And then he starts talking about the future. So at this particular time, when he says consider your ways, he says he's talking about the present way. But then secondly, after he says consider your ways, he's talking about the future, because he says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He said, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. In the sermon that I preached from Jeremiah chapter 6, I made the correlation that the house of God is very, very important. Amen. It's very, very important. The temple is very, very important. And yet we spend all of this time making money to build our house. And this is what the people were doing. They came back to Jerusalem and they needed places to live. And they started building houses and they started all of these things. And nobody even thought for a moment about God's house. Nobody thought for a moment about God's house. They were so busy taking care of themselves. Oh my. You know what I'm told usually? I talk to people, I say, hey, you know people have problems and all of this. And usually what I'll ask is very simple, is, you know, how much time are you spending in your Bible? Now we're getting personal. How much time are we spending in prayer and with God? You know what I'm usually given? I'm given two reasons usually as to why people don't read their Bible. The first reason, I don't have time. You know why we don't have time? Because we're too busy building our own house. Hey, come on out. Did I tell you about it? This is personal today? Okay, it's personal. I'm sorry. It's just personal. We're too busy building our own house to, we've neglected the house of God. You say, but I go to church. I'm here every Sunday. That's wonderful. That's not the house of the Lord I'm talking about. I'll go again. I don't want to make this correlation. I'm going to make it very early in this sermon because we're pressed for time here, and I want you to stay with me. But the temple that I'm talking about is not this building. It's this building. That's the building I'm talking about. We're neglecting this building, not the physical body that we need more bodily exercise. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that lives within us, where the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is what we're neglecting. And he says right here in Haggai, he says, consider your ways. I mean, hey, we're spending so much time on the physical things of life that we're neglecting the spiritual. And he's telling us, consider your ways. I would dare say that I know this is talking about in Haggai. I don't want you to think that I don't understand what I'm reading here. I know Haggai is talking about the physical building of the temple, the physical building of God's house. But God changed things in the New Testament. God made a change, and he came in and he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you not know this? And so here, I would dare say that God would have the same thing to say in verse number 8 that he says in this, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Now, I know there's not a physical wood this morning, but I tell you, we do have a physical word. And if we're going to build the house of God spiritually in our lives, it's going to take the very word of God. And we must spend some time in it, and we must gather those things, and we must dig in those things, and we must consider our ways in this. But I guarantee you, when the Bible says, go up and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. You want God to take pleasure in you? Build the house. Build His house. Take some time with God and take some time to spend time in His Word to say, hey, I know I have physical needs and I know I have all of these other needs, but God, feed my spirit. God, strengthen my hands for the work. God, strengthen my hands. Provide me some finances that I can give to your work. Give me all of these things. Allow me to make a good living so I can give to missions. If I won't go myself, may I send someone else. You see, those are the things that God is going to take pleasure in. And I tell you this morning, consider your ways. Consider your ways this morning. As God has said to us, consider our ways. But notice he says in verse number 9, ye looked for so much, or ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Which house are you concentrating on this morning? Can I tell you that if you would just spend a little more time concentrating upon the house that God has built inside of you, that God has laid inside of you upon the foundation of your faith in Jesus Christ, if you would just spend some time focusing upon that house, it would probably help your physical house too. Amen. Amen. It'll help your physical house. Some of you have very little because you've given very little to God. I'm not talking about financial things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about time. Isn't that amazing? Look, isn't it amazing how much time we don't have and yet we all have the same amount of time? When we take the time, it almost seems like for me, God expands my time, but yet I know that's not physically possible. There's no way in the realm for God. You know, God doesn't give me 26 hours in a day just because I sat and read my Bible for a little while. But it is amazing how God says, he says, look what he said. He said, you looked for much, and lo, it came little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? He said, you looked for much, you went out and got much, and you're walking in and saying, oh, look what I got, look what I got. And you come home and it's like, oh, it's not very much. Why? Did God have anything to do with it? Why, saith the Lord? Because mine house, that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Can we just get real personal here for a moment? We've been talking to my Sunday school class for the last few weeks about building upon the foundation that only God can see. Here's what I know. In most of us, we like, you know, where we live. We want things to look right. You know, we want the yard to look right. We want the house to be painted and look nice, and we want the walls to be cracked free and all of that. And we take pride in our homes, don't we? I mean, some of you I know, like a well manicured lawn. I'd love for you to come and do mine. I don't know how to do it, but I know some of you, you take pride in that, and that's wonderful. And here's why we neglect the house of God so much. Because no one else can see it. I want you to consider for a moment that if everyone could see your heart today, what God sees, some of you would be in a panic. Because of what everyone would think. Let me just fill you in on something. If you don't know this by now, it really doesn't even matter what everyone else thinks. It ought to matter what God thinks. And God can see. And God looks down and He says, you want me to bless you? And yet my house lieth in waste? Now you wouldn't treat your own house like that. Why do we treat God's house like that? Now again, I'm not talking about the pews, I'm not talking about the carpet or the walls or the paint, I'm talking about the paint of your heart that only God can see. Consider your ways. You want God to take pleasure? Consider your ways. You want God to take pleasure in what you do? Some of us might have to change our ways. Go to chapter 2, we're going to wrap this up. I'm way off my outline. So you're welcome. We see this call to build, considering our ways. In verse number 4, he says, yet now be strong. He's talking to Zerubbabel and Joshua. Zerubbabel was the governor. He was the one leading the people there. Joshua was serving as the high priest. He says, be strong. Circumstances are going to change. At any moment, our circumstances may change in our life. God gives us a call to be strong. Be strong. Continue. As you're considering your ways, it may not go exactly the way you think it should. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Take the challenge. Find comfort in His rest. We're dropping down to verse number 15. He says, And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels of the press, out of the press, there were but 20. Here we are again. He's saying, consider. Consider from this day and upward. He says, in the past, He said, you came, you wanted to find 20 measures. He said, there was only 10. Wonder why that was. You think God had anything to do with it? Most certainly He did. Notice what He says in verse number 17. He said, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Some of you, again, this is real personal here. Some of you are so stubborn, you're so stinking hard-headed and stiff-necked that you don't even see when God's trying to get your attention. We bow up and we get mad and we say, God, I'm doing everything I can do except build His house. God, I get up, I go to work every day, and I do all this stuff, and we throw our little temper tantrum, we throw our little baby fit, and we try to blame God when God says, yeah, that's right. So wait a minute. You mean it's okay to blame God? He blamed himself right here. He said, consider your ways, and as you consider your ways, by the way, I'm going to blast you. That's a good one right there. God blasted them, man. He blasted them. He said it. He said, yeah, you came because I smote you with a blasting. I love it. God blasted him. He said, with mildew. He said, all that stuff you thought you could use, can't use it. He said, with hail, all the labors of your hands. He said, yeah, you worked all day long. I tried to get your attention, yet you turned not to me. You see, yeah, God says, yeah, I withheld from you. Yeah, I blasted you. I sent the mildew. But hey, let's not forget. Let's not sit here and say, God, why would you do this? No, God's sitting down and saying to us, why would you do this? How about it's time that we take some personal responsibility for what is taking place in our lives and realize and notice I've neglected the house of God. And we neglect the house of God and we neglect what God has given to us, this gift of faith inside of us, and we neglect that and we think God is just automatically given to bless. Look, We have a lot of parents in here. We have some that aren't parents. Maybe you'll be parents one day. But look, how many of you took and take disrespect from your children? I mean, how many of you when they come in and they say, Dad, I want a new suit? Or Dad, you need to go get me some new shoes. How many shoes you buying, Bob? You're not. He defers. That's good. Get me some new clothes. I'll get you something. It's not going to be new clothes. Look, when our children start demanding things from us and get mad at us and blow up at us, how many of you have taken them for ice cream? Okay, Junior, let's go get you some new shoes and we'll stop and get you some ice cream too. Don't talk to me anymore like that. It's okay. I'll do whatever you say. I think we would all agree. Bad, stupid parenting right there. Come on. But I want it. You're going to get it. Am I right? I mean, we don't parent that way. So why do we think God will? God, I can't believe you do this to me. You did this to yourself. Told you, real personal today. I only get one shot at you today. This is it. Consider now from this day and upward. Verse 18. From the 24th day of the month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Here's that word again. Consider it. Is seed yet in the barn? Yay, that means yes. And yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate tree and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day, will I bless you. Consider it. Here he is again talking about the future. Each time he says, consider it. This is where you're at. Consider it. This is where you could be. Consider it. Again, verse 20, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and earth. I will overthrow the thrones, or the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heaven of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down every one by the sword of his brother in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel? Saith the Lord, I will make thee a sign, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, can I just fill you in on something and remind you of something? As the Bible says, ye what? Know ye not? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I remind you that God chose you? Can I remind you that God called you? You responded to that call. You trusted Christ as your Savior. That foundation was laid, and he said, start building. He said, start building on that foundation. And we build and we build and we build. And for some of us, from time to time, unfortunately, that temple comes in. It gets destroyed, not the foundation. But we've got to rebuild and we got to rebuild and we got to reconstruct and we got to go through all of these things. And here God is saying in all of this, he says, say unto him, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Aren't you glad for the shaking of God? Sometimes these things get shaken up in our lives and we look to see what is going on and we go all around it and something's shaking and something's moving. And some of you right now, God is shaking your hearts and he's shaking these things in your life and he's shaking all of these things up in your life and he's saying, he's trying to get your attention to let you know these things are being shaken up because he is going to protect you. And he shakes these things up and he stirs this up and he makes it happen. He says, I've chosen you. He says, don't forget it. He says, these things, he says, you may think you're outnumbered. Let's not forget who God is. He says, you may think you're outnumbered. He says, Zerubbabel, people are going to rise up against you. It's all right, I got it. He says, people are going to come at you in chariots and they're going to look fierce and it's going to look like it's an impossible thing in your life. He said, but Zerubbabel, understand, I have chosen thee. Remember, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I tell you this morning, the walls may shake and the earth may shake, but there is still a God in heaven and there is still a God on the throne and he is my Savior. He is your Savior. And he says, I've chosen thee. Hey, let me just tell you this morning, consider your ways. Would you just consider your ways? You're faced with a decision right here, right now. I'm going to give an invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the decision. You can consider your ways as they are, and you can consider your ways as they will be. Or you can do nothing. God help you if you do nothing. Consider your ways. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. As you consider, fix your mind with a view of care. Take careful examination to ponder with care these things that God is doing in your life. It's very possible, it's very likely that what's happening in your life is something you've brought onto yourself. Consider your ways and consider what God would have you do. Father in heaven, move within our midst. May we each one consider our ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Terry's going to sing a verse of invitation. The altar is open. Nobody's looking around. You can come. Respond. Consider your ways. You say, Pastor, I know if I come, somebody's going to see me and somebody's going to think, oh, his ways are bad. No, it doesn't have to be. You can consider your ways and say, no, I want to say this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I have to be. Oh, would you consider? As Brother Terry sings, you come. Folks are responding. You come. Consider your ways. We need revival in our country, in our world, in our homes, in our lives. Oh, it starts with considering our ways. Consider it. Is God speaking to you? You respond. As folks continue to pray, if no one else comes, we'll close the invitation. It's in your hands. Is God shaking your heart right now? Consider your ways and consider what they could be. Come home. Come home. Come home. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Consider your ways. Consider what it could be.